Blog Talk Radio.
In Much Less Detail, the podcast on a Wednesday night, November 12th, 2014. I'm Dre. My co-host Jay will join us shortly. It's the end of my streak of over 500 weeks. Unfortunately, I put in a 6-7 this week, just barely under, but still under. But hey, if that's the blow water mark for me in a 5-week stretch, I'm doing something good, obviously. So, you know, it wasn't a total train wreck. It wasn't a 3-10 or a 2-11. I'm known to throw one of those clunkers in every now and then, but I've been pretty steady so far, at least for through this little stretch that I've had, this little good stretch after the first few weeks of the season when I started off just terrible. So now I'm sitting at 4 games over .500 at 73-69-5, 1 game behind Jason. At 74-68-5, Jason, of course, had to let me know that if I only had picked the Dallas Cowboys overseas over Jacksonville, then I could be tied with Jason right now. Or actually, I'd be in the lead by 1 game. No, wait, that's not right either. No, if we both had Dallas, then, yeah, we'd be tied. We'd have the same record. But it was not to be. I was able to take the other games in which we were against each other, the other 3 games, all went my way, but only that one little pesky England game went against me. I had Kansas City over Buffalo. I had Baltimore over Tennessee. And then I finished it off on Sunday night by, yep, I fucked with the Bear Whisperer. He was very confident that he was going to pull another crazy primetime upset for the Bears. He's picked so many of those over the years. I don't blame him for having confidence, but it was not to be. He fell short just by a little bit. The Packers beat the Bears by a small margin to give me the victory in that game. And Jason's having trouble joining me again. I saw him come up and clicked for him to come on, and he disappeared. So I'm assuming he's going to probably give up giving that a try real soon and just call in on the phone and have the lower voice quality. I just got finished bowling, so I probably have a low voice quality myself, not because I'm off the headset. I'm on the Skype headset, but I'm just very tired. That day of bowling, or that evening of bowling, came after a day of working. I got up at 3:30 this morning to go put in my 8 hours of work and got a few hours at home, but went bowling soon after that, and now here I am doing a show, and Jason now joins us on the phone line. More Skype problems tonight, I see.
Yeah, this seems to be a sort of a recurring thing. So every fourth or fifth show, it seems like it just doesn't want to work.
Yeah, that's a shame. Well, you're on the...
I am on the air. That's all I know.
You're on the air. You're on the phone line. You're a little less voice quality, but you are still in here to discuss the week in the NFL, week 10, where I was able to knock off some games on your league, whittled you down to one, but couldn't quite catch you. I was right on your tail, but as you, of course, pointed out to me, if only I had just taking Dallas overseas against Jacksonville, then we could be tied right now.
Yeah, you know, nothing really went my way, but I'll tell you what, when I laugh in your face, that shit's for real. And I mean, it's what you get for taking the Jacksonville Jaguars, my friend.
Well, you called the whole week, actually. You said we were just going to split the games in which we laughed at each other, because I laughed at you for taking Tennessee over Baltimore,
yep.
And you said we were going to split those, and that's exactly what happened. So.
Yeah, and Tennessee, you kind of got me late on two of those because Tennessee and Kansas City, Buffalo, both were going my way into the fourth quarter of both of those games, and those fell apart on me late.
Yeah, Tennessee is just, they're definitely struggling to put some offense together with the rookie quarterback. That really shouldn't be a surprise. So they played a tough game against Baltimore, you know, did a good job against the offense, held them down for a while, but like you said, the fourth quarter did them in.
And Buffalo just melted down.
I was about to say, when it happens, I completely concede it and give it to you. I stole that game from you. I did. Kansas City was not the better team in that game. Buffalo was the better team. And Kansas City somehow rallied from behind and took that game and really had no business taking that game. They're down 10 in the fourth quarter with a fourth and one and having to go for it near midfield because it was basically, you know, do or die. If they don't convert that, then Buffalo's going to be able to run out the clock pretty easily. And what happens? The genius of Andy Reid comes through again with that little play call with the little fake to the inside by Alex Smith. You think he's going to run Jamal Charles right up the middle inside? That's the obvious play. You know, you only need a yard. Let's not do anything cute. Let's just go right smash mouth and get that yard that we need and move those chains. And instead, he turns and fakes the inside handoff. Does a little cute pitch outside to Charles, who makes one man miss and just takes off. Nobody touches him, and 50 yards or so later, it's a touchdown, and Kansas City's right back in it.
Yeah, it was tough. It was definitely tough, but you know, you're whittling this down. It's inevitable that at some point in the history of this show, you will have a lead on me.
It has to happen.
The odds are in your favor. You should realize that. We're into our 83rd episode. It's going to happen. I kind of hope you just get a lead so we can kind of get this over with. Then I can go back to having a lead again. Just so this recurring theme of will you overtake me ever kind of goes away.
That's funny. That's exactly how I feel about the Cubs winning a World Series. As a White Sox fan, I'm supposed to have it in my blood to always hate on the Cubs and hope that nothing ever comes their way. And at this point, I'm like, you know what, please, just go ahead and win a damn World Series. Just you shut up. Seriously, get it over with.
You would say that because what you want to do, you want to take away everything special about being a Cubs fan.
And that's,
what would happen? You know, imagine though, the life of a Cubs fan. Imagine the life, my life, anybody's lifelong bleeds the Cubby blue. What would the day after the World Series win look like? You wouldn't know what to do.
You
wouldn't
be
waiting for next year anymore.
That neighborhood around Wrigley Field, yes. You have a brain, so I wouldn't ascribe this to you. But everybody around Wrigleyville, yes, you're absolutely right. I would assume, I wouldn't even think of the next morning. I was thinking an hour after the game was over, after the clinching game was over, that they're drenched in champagne and beer and spit and everything else and already partied out and kind of looking at each other with their palms to the sky like, what now?
What do we do now?
Well, I don't know. what do winners do? I don't know.
Yeah, it would be such a weird feeling. You'd have no misery to share in with all of your fellow Cub fans. No, I'm sure it would actually be more than an hour. I'm sure it would be, there'd be that, after the parade, I think everybody would have no idea. Because you wouldn't be thinking about the hot prospect or, you know, everything that you were about would cease to exist. And that would be difficult.
No more wait till next year. Yes, I do want to take all of that away. You're absolutely right. I'm sick of it. It is what makes the Cubs special, and that's pathetic. That's what makes a team special is their ability to lose year after year.
Losers.
Enough. Just win the fucking series already. Get it over with. So I don't have to listen to it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, the odds of that happening are, you know, it's kind of like what you're up against here.
Yes, exactly. It's
going
to happen.
Folks who didn't listen, folks who haven't followed the show, and there's folks out there, we just don't know if they listen. Or if they're just
maybe they just download
their iPod and they're just not even listening to it. We're just archived on someone's iPod. But
yep.
You got close a couple of times last year.
I did. I don't remember if I got within a game like this.
No, you got to three games at two different points last year, but the last point you got to three was, I don't know, I want to say week 11, week 12, and then the wheels just fell off. For you, because you ended up finishing 13 or 14. It was a big number. It was in the teens, the number of games, because I was just, those last 4 or 5 weeks, I'm just picking up like 3 games a week on you there.
Yeah, that's bad memories. Bad memories. I don't want to think about that.
Well, that just shows you how fast things change.
Even though I'm opening up last year now to see just how many games you wound up finishing ahead of me.
Just out of curiosity,
with your 10-6 week 17, which is a mere, that should count for double because week 17 is so unpredictable.
yeah, that's the week that the dime comes out.
Yes, yes. Coin whipped both of us. Still, Coin went 11-5, and I went 6-10. So with that, you wound up at 134-116, and I was at 118-132. So you were 16 games better than me by the time the season ended.
Wow.
The last 2 weeks, week 16 and 17, you took 4 games from me each week.
Yeah,
things
get out of hand quickly when you start taking 4 games different from the other each week.
As
we've been
playing Anchorman,
it pretty tight. You know, you've been slowly, since week one, you've been working your way back up. I guess now I just have to start taking this thing seriously again.
As Anchorman said, last year at the end, boy, that escalated quickly.
Yes. we didn't even make it to the Super Bowl last year, which was the first time in a long time.
In a long time. And somebody marked that point in the podcast. I actually quoted a movie that I saw. I actually saw Anchorman. I quote so many movies, and I've never seen them before. I just know the famous lines from them. But I actually saw Anchorman in the theater with a woman who shall remain nameless, but I digress.
Okay.
Okay.
So where do you want to start? What stood out to you?
I was going to ask you, the teams, in my opinion, that quit in week 10, I want to know who quit harder. Maybe I'm seeing it wrong. Maybe some teams just got outclassed and really was trying hard. But the teams
so we don't have die hard anymore. Now we have quit hard.
Exactly. So the teams that quit hard, and I know who I thought quit harder, but I wanted your opinion. I have candidates, or you can just name the people that you think quit right off the bat and go from there.
I have to go back to who I had last week, who I was like suspecting has quit. Now I know they've quit. I'm going with the Giants.
That's one of my teams.
Yeah, I got to go with the Giants of all the teams. I think that team looks done. You know, sometimes you can look at scores, but you got to kind of see it. They look done. They tried to compete in Seattle, and Seattle's not what they were last year. Seattle's very ripe for the picking almost every week now. It doesn't take your best game anymore to beat up on the Seahawks. But it seemed like they got to a point where they just knew they weren't going to come back in that game, and they just kind of went into, like, fuck it mode. And that's not good. So I've been sort of on this, especially after watching them. This is coupled up with watching them in that Monday night performance, which is one of the worst things I've ever seen.
Oh, against the Colts.
Oh, God, it's dreadful. Absolutely dreadful to watch. So I'm going to go with the Giants. As far as a mailing it in performance.
That's a very good choice. Seattle ran them over. I mean, like tanks at Tiananmen Square. I mean, they just revved it up and steamrolled them. That was an incredible performance on the ground. It's funny. You look at Seattle's passing attack without Percy Harvin, and you see how weak they are, and you go, well, they're somewhat one-dimensional. You should be able to put a stop to the Seahawks. You know what they're going to do. You know they're going to come out and run it. Well, the Giants knew what they were going to do and what happened. How'd that work for them? So, you know, sometimes you just run into a buzzsaw and you can't stop them, and there's nothing you can do. Now, the Giants were a special breed of victim ready to get run over, because I don't know if Seattle runs for 300-whatever yards against too many other teams. I know they had it revved up. I know Beast Mode was on Beast Mode. He was in full Skittles mode and everything else. And Russell Wilson, again, you know, another 100-yard rushing day out of the quarterback position, which is pretty fucking amazing for someone not named Vic. But I don't know too many teams that would have allowed them to run for that many yards like that. And Beast Mode just scoring over and over and over again. It's like, you know what's coming. You know he's going to run and then break a bunch of tackles and try to stomp your head in. You know, somebody stop him. Nope, nobody stopped him. And Zach Bowman specifically really quit on the Giants. He had an angle on that fourth touchdown that Marshawn Lynch scored. He had an angle to try to take him on square up around the 2 or 3 yard line, and you could tell he was like, I don't think I want to do this. I'm just going to escort him into the end zone and take him by the hand and do a little square dance with him, promenade around and do-si-do. So that was a special breed of quit right there. So that's a very good candidate for a mail-it-in team right there.
I'm guessing you have a different one.
The Chicago Bears are an embarrassment to everybody that's a fan of that team right now. They're an absolute joke.
You are a fan of that team, so you're going to be a little less objective.
Any other team that would like to give up 50 points in back-to-back games, go right ahead. Step right up. Any other team that would like to give up 50 points to their hated arch rival, go right ahead. Step right up. Any other team that would like to give up 50 points coming off a bye week, this is how you prepare for your biggest rival on a week of having rest and getting ready physically and mentally as ready as you can get on a Sunday night where you had all day in addition to the 2 weeks to get mentally and physically prepared? Really? Really? I bet the Jaguars wouldn't do that, or the Raiders, or the Giants, or anybody else. That is all-time embarrassing. I don't even have words for it. Mike from Football Fan Rush Radio was tweeting me all night with all sorts of, you know, hashtag fire Mel Tucker, hashtag fire Mark Trestman. He's done with the whole thing. That defense, as bad as the offense has looked and can be, and as bad as Jay Cutler has been and can be, that defense. I'm sick of watching Jordy Nelson run wide open for touchdowns. How many fucking times does this have to happen?
Well, it's
seriously,
not just Jordy Nelson. We're back to the Cover Zero days. This predates Mel Tucker. This goes back a decade or more. The Bears just don't like to cover. They just like free runners in their secondary.
I'm so sick of it.
This is their thing.
Free runners is one thing, but Jordy Nelson specifically appears to be 10 to 15 yards open at least twice a game every fucking time the Bears play him. And I'm sick of it.
Aaron Rodgers put on a show. He absolutely put on a show.
He could have thrown
in
for
prime time.
That's what
you're supposed to do in prime time. Jay Cutler could have thrown for 400 yards and 5 touchdowns, and they still would have lost by 2 touchdowns.
You know, and the really funny part about it is I made note mentally of how well the Bears did move the football on the perimeter after a while, after they were down about three or four touchdowns, so it was too late to save the game.
That's what it doesn't matter.
Right. But at least they made the fucking adjustment. If this was Lovie Smith coaching the team, they would have never even done that. They'd have been shut out. It would have been 55-0. But at least with Mark Trestman, that's why Mike from Football Fan Rush Radio specifically asked me on Twitter, fire Trestman or fire Tucker if I have to have a choice. And my choice by a mile is Tucker instantly. As down as I am on Trestman now, I don't think nearly as highly of him as I did at this time last year. Mel Tucker is a motherfucking joke. They hire him despite him running the Jacksonville defense into the ground. They never looked good in the time that he was there. They bring him in last year and they saddle him with Lovie Smith's Tampa 2 defense. Okay, fine. That's not what he's used to. That's an explanation or an excuse for why they were such a terrible defense last year. There's no such shackles on him this year. They supply him with some free agent talent. You know, not the biggest free agent haul on defense you've ever seen, but some free agent talent. They try to shore it up a little bit, and they tell him, run your defense. This is your show. This is his show? This is what he runs? What is this? I'd rather have Lovie Tampa 2 back if this is your show. What the hell?
Because, you know, at least that Tampa 2 defense is sort of that bend-don't-break defense.
Right.
You know, just make them work their way down the field. It keeps the games a little tighter, even because it makes up for the lack of talent on some of those defensive teams. Because you're playing those two deep safeties. You're trying not to give up the big play all the time. Whatever they're doing now, maybe he figured cover two meant you only have to cover two of the wide receivers. Because it looks like what they're doing.
And leave everybody else wide open.
That's right, because so if the Packers go four wide, two of those guys are getting covered, hence you have the cover two, but the other two guys just going to get anything they want. One of those guys seems to be Jordy Nelson more often than not.
Yes.
Green Bay just looked – they didn't just look it. They were just the better team. They looked confident. They looked like they were just toying with the Bears. Aaron Rodgers – once again, we keep going back to him and his whole relax thing. Completely different team now. They were playing fast. They were playing loose. They had no problem early in that game going for a fourth down deep in the red zone of the Bears because I don't think they had the confidence in the Bears to turn around and go anywhere with the ball.
You're right. The fourth and goal at the one, no need to
– Yeah.
I wrote down no need to run it and risk a stuffing, which might have crushed them early in the game, but they had no fear. They just run the play-action pass and 7-0, and the route is on. They knew. They knew. They knew they could do anything they wanted against Chicago, as they did in the first game of the season in Soldier Field. So they knew the whole time. Rodgers said relax against the Bears the first time, and he's relaxed again in this game. Yeah, he even looked relaxed out there. Just everything about him was relaxed. Because he knew he was playing the Chicago Bears and that terrible defense.
Well, I'll tell you what, that Bears team, though, looked.
Yeah, they're a mess.
Not ready to play. They did not look prepared at all, offensively or defensively. They just looked not ready to play a game of football. Maybe Green Bay made them look that way. These were both teams, I believe, coming off of the bye, right?
I don't think Green Bay was coming off a bye.
Oh, well, they sure played like the team that looked like they were coming out of the bye.
They did look nice and fresh. You're absolutely right. Chicago and Green Bay were both off in week 9.
Well, thank you. I don't research, but I remember.
I'm so Bears-centric, I only focus on the Bears having a bye to get ready for this game.
No, so
the Packers got ready for it, too.
But think about it, you know, if you're the Packers, your game film is all success against the Bears. If you're the Bears, you know, they played like their previous game film against the Packers. They had no idea what to do. Nobody can go out and emulate Aaron Rodgers in practice. Or apparently nobody can go out there and not get covered like Jordy Nelson.
And even Green Bay had the very ingenious adjustment to move Clay Matthews, the roided up troglodyte, as an inside linebacker and stuff the run game, which was a problem before. So the one thing Bears thought they could get away with coming into the game, which is establishing a run, they couldn't even do that because of roided up troglodyte in the middle there. And that's what I'm saying, is the Bears did make an adjustment and made a lot of nice plays on the perimeter outside of roided up troglodyte. And that's why I still would lean towards keeping Trestman around even through next year, although I have a feeling if it keeps going like this, he's not going to last. He's not going to be back next year because this is, like I said, this is all-time bad. This is all-time embarrassing bad. The Bears have never, in my lifetime, I don't think, looked this inept as a team. I mean, up and down, top to bottom, as an organization, they look like they have no fucking idea what they're doing. It's really sad to see. So, yeah, I am biased. I am partisan. But I would say the Bears are the quit team because from the leaders on the team, from Jay Cutler, Brandon Marshall, to Lance Briggs on the other side of the football, they all sound like they're sort of checked out. They all sound like they're completely oblivious to what's going on and have no idea how to fix it. And then the coach, Mark Trestman, gets on the microphone and sounds like the most clueless person in the world sometimes. Like, we just, you know, we got to clean it up and we got to, you know, do this, do that, like, you know, minor adjustments and arguments in the locker room. He goes, well, I don't control the locker room. I don't know anything about what happened in there. You're the fucking head coach. How do you not know what's going on in your own locker room? What's, you know, I don't know what's going on up there.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. We're going into week 11, and there's no clear consensus on who the mail-it-in team is. But, hey, it means we've got a competitive league this year. There's a lot of bad teams, but I don't think that we have that one team yet that's just full of quit. I think teams have shown flashes of it, but nobody is consistently week in and week out just looking done. Like, they're already planning their golf rounds for after the season's over. I haven't seen that yet. Even Jacksonville, as bad as they are, they're still playing. They're trying. They're trying.
It's definitely later in the season than it usually is before we can really identify the team that's completely quit. Usually it's pretty clear by this point. Usually it's pretty clear about week 6 or week 7 who's already quit. But to even get to this late in the season, to still have a question about it, it's a very, very compelling season thus far. So, and we still got
a
lot of games to go.
We always joke about it, but the record for nailing the quit team is still before the season started for us. That was
that
4 or 5 years ago. We actually nailed the Eagles. Must have been. I think that was right at the end of the Andy Reid.
Yeah, I believe it was his last year.
But we just completely nailed the Eagles as the quit team, as the mail it in team, and the season hadn't even started yet. And we were right.
Yes. Absolutely right.
I got to say, though, a couple of teams this week. I'm sure a couple of teams, probably the same teams that infuriated me, infuriated you as well. Fuck the Steelers. And fuck the Saints. Are you kidding me? Both of those teams can just go to hell.
About the Saints, they won the game, didn't they? Correct me if I'm wrong. They won the game, right?
I'll tell you what. I give that ref who threw that flag all the credit in the world. That was pass interference. I don't care when it is in the game. Jimmy Graham shoved a dude out of the way. It's funny whenever an offensive player shoves a defensive player. The guy flopped. No. You watch it in slow-mo, it looks like the guy flopped. But at regular speed, it looked like Jimmy Graham ran up to the guy, pushed him over, and caught a touchdown pass. He probably didn't need to push the guy to catch the touchdown pass because that was right on him. But they're just figuring, oh, hey, it's the end of the game. You can get away with it, you know, because it always happens on the Hail Mary at the end of the game. No, the Saints did not win the game. The ref, for believe it or not, actually made the right call. That was the right call.
Name me the last Hail Mary you've seen in which they call that. Everybody does that every time there's a Hail Mary, and it never gets called.
It wasn't in a lot of traffic, so it was so blatant.
There wasn't enough bodies around them?
Obviously, because Jimmy Graham's the only Saints player right there. There weren't a lot of Saints guys there ready to jump for the ball. It was a lot of 49ers, though. So that ref, he's got radar lock on Jimmy Graham because he's probably standing there just waiting. He's itching to throw that flag against the 49ers. You know that, right? Because this is the way it goes. He's looking for anything that he can to throw that flag because this is what these refs do now. So what does he see with radar lock on Jimmy Graham? He sees Jimmy Graham just flat out shove the guy right to the ground.
Flag was out before he even shoved him almost.
Well, it's because it was. You see the shove, and that thing is out because it just shows you that that guy was looking for something. But he was right. I don't care how often it gets called, how often it doesn't get called. It was offensive pass interference.
It was 100% blatant.
Yes, we've seen it all the time in those situations where the offensive player gets away with it. But it was so obvious. Yes. So blatant, so obvious, and right there in the open, too. Not a bunch of bodies kind of jostling around, and he gives them a little shove. Took the time while he was running to just push the guy completely out of the way and then jump up and catch the touchdown. I was completely okay with the call. It was offensive pass interference. I give the ref credit for having the stones to throw that. And then for the other guy not to just wave it off and go, there is no penalty. Hey, the whole crew, good on them. I was all right with it. Maybe you're not, but I was okay with it.
He completely shoved off. It's completely illegal. It's completely against the rules. Come on, man. They never fucking call that in a Hail Mary situation. I've never seen that.
So the point is, they should have just let him have it? They should have let him get away with it? Is that the point?
I've never seen it called, is all I'm saying. That's all. I guess that's the only thing I can say.
I got to say, though, for a Hail Mary, though, I've never seen it that obvious.
It's pretty obvious on a lot of them. They pretty much all shove off.
Kind of bumping around. It's usually... I've seen the other side of that. I've seen the guy shove. There was one a few years ago where a guy actually shoved the guy who was standing right in front of him right to the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that too.
And then
caught
it.
I don't know who did it, but.
I don't know who
it
happened
to. Right
to
the ground.
The play.
Yeah.
Yeah, just shoved the dude right to the ground. Maybe there's they say there's this point of emphasis on offensive pass interference. I guess we saw it, right?
I think another factor is Jimmy Graham is so motherfucking huge that when he shoves off, it really
stands. When he shoves a guy that's half his size to the ground and the guy goes flying.
Yeah. Yeah, it was
a
flop
as well. At slow-mo,
it
looked like a flop. At regular speed, that looked like a big dude pushing a little dude down to the ground.
And the part before that is Colin Kaepernick's busted play fling across the field on 4th and 10, which is extremely ill-advised and somehow got caught by Michael Crabtree to extend the drive.
Yeah, I got to say, Kaepernick's gotten away with that a couple of times this year. That's not something you want to get into the habit of doing.
No. No, and all of that said, if Drew Brees doesn't play so carelessly in the first half, New Orleans wouldn't have to try to rally, and that whole end-of-game scenario wouldn't have even come up.
Yeah, Saints have 3 turnovers. That division, again, the NFC South. It hurts. It hurts so bad. You have the Panthers. You want to talk about a potential mail-in team? The Panthers are going to be in this conversation soon. They keep looking worse every week. There's something wrong with Cam. I've been saying it for weeks that he's hurt.
Yeah.
I'm sticking with it. He is not stepping into any of his throws. Everything's coming out sideways, and it's floating. He's got no arm strength left right now. There is something wrong with Cam. He is hiding something.
He's not even dropping back full speed. He's like taking three steps, like slow, like Fred Sanford steps, and trying to hang in there.
The pick six that he threw, Porter, I want to say, does that sound about right? But he threw a pick six. Guy, not even like the guy really jumped the route. It was just a really lollipop throw.
Yeah.
They had a low angle from the sideline looking at the throw. He doesn't step forward. He just kind of throws his leg up and throws it off to the side and then just tries to arm this throw in there. Nobody's around him, so he's not harassed in the pocket at all. Just tries to wing it out there with nothing but his arm. That's guaranteed it's going to get picked.
It's guaranteed it's going to be a bad throw no matter what, whether it gets picked or not.
He is hurt. Yeah, he is hurt. If you cannot step into your throw, get some zip on that thing, your cornerbacks are just going to eat you alive. I'm a little worried about Cam. I'm a little worried about those Panthers.
They're going to win the fucking division. It's 6-9-1.
It's just the whole thing is so bad. I mean, you've got Atlanta a game out of the lead in that division by virtue of their 3-0 division record.
Oh, if they could only play Tampa every time.
Oh my God! Somebody actually went so far as to say this week that if Atlanta wins this week and some things go right, they could be in first place.
Go Falcons, go!
Oh my God! Hey, I picked them to win the division. I'm still in there on that one.
Yes, you are.
But the Saints thing though, I was okay with the push off call. Pittsburgh though just completely blew my mind they did.
Get after him, go at him. I know you're ready. You're salivating. Go for it.
How does a team lose to the Jets and lose to Tampa and have any credibility as a good football team? They're still in the middle of that divisional race, which is really sad. But you know I've been sour on them all year. Been sour on Pittsburgh all year. They're not doing anything other than a nice two-game stretch there for Big Ben throwing those two games with the six touchdowns. They haven't shown me anything. I still look at them as a really bad team because games like they played against the Jets, can't say anything else to me. Nobody can come to me and make a case for Pittsburgh's a good team at all. That resume that they have right now.
That defense is non-existent. You shouldn't look that bad missing a kid linebacker, Ryan Shazier, and Troy Polamalu. But they looked lost. I mean, completely, utterly lost. And I think they're both out again for their next game. If you're going to combine that with Antonio Brown having butterfingers, and Ben Roethlisberger throwing a couple of picks to, hey, look, the Jets got two interceptions off of defensive backs. We made fun of them having, I think, one coming in on the season, and somebody named Jaquan Jarrett gets two by himself. So,
yeah, I mean, after the offensive explosion they had, they put 13 up against the Jets. The Jets are not a defensive juggernaut.
No, they're decent. They're always decent on defense, but they're not what they used to be.
Yeah, so I was really annoyed with them, really annoyed with the Saints for that effort. Just little stuff like that kind of had me in a sour mood this week as far as those picks went. You know, it wasn't even the fact that I lost a few games to you, because during the course of a year, we both have weeks where we pick up games and lose games. Man, those were bad.
It put you at a 4-9, which is I'd see why you're in a sour mood at 4-9. There's nobody who feels good about that with that record.
No, but you know, throughout the year, we both have our fair share of bad weeks. They can't all be good.
Yeah, I was saying before you came on that I'm waiting for my 2-1-11. It's coming soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, we just you know it's going to happen, so you just. You try to prepare for it. It's not even the 4-9. I knew it was a bad week. Didn't realize it was that bad. It's just some of the results were just so infuriating, and that was clearly one of them. Some of the other ones, it was, you know, we did some show me picks. You know, we wanted to see a little bit more from teams. I'm trying to think of some of them right now. It's late. A little later than we normally go. Arizona
yeah.
stepped up again. That's one. We wanted to see a little bit more from them. They stepped up. Detroit stepped up.
Those are the two.
Yeah.
Two teams that were both kind of like, I don't know. And then they both pulled wins out of their asses again. Again.
Yeah.
Carson Palmer out for the year. They don't care. Arizona just keeps on going. They just will not stop. The Arizona Cardinals are 8-1. The Arizona Cardinals are 8-1.
Well, and apparently Carson Palmer has been going. He's been watching some RG3 tape because the non-contact injury jumped up and got him.
RG3 is 13 years younger than him. He's got no excuse.
No, Carson Palmer, well, we both joked that Carson Palmer's been retired since that knee went out, and it's the same knee.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Kimo von Ohlhofen knee.
It is. However,
maybe it's just the delayed reaction to his early retirement that he didn't know about, or the deal he signed with the devil to play for as long as he has since that happened finally ran out.
He's going to be up for some sort of timing is everything postseason award because of the deal that he signed 2 days before this injury for an extra $50 million. How do you think the Cardinals feel about that?
Had a little injury insurance on that one.
Man.
Oh,
what
man.
Timing there.
All that extra, the heavier wallet must have been weighing down his knees. Put a little stress on the knee, you know. He had a little extra coin in the back pocket, and then, you know.
This, here's what the Arizona win signifies without Carson Palmer, or what it might mean. It might mean that they go all the way through the regular season with the best record, wind up having home field throughout the playoffs, which means that if you want to keep trusting that feel-good story to go all the way to the Super Bowl and become the first team in the modern era to host their own Super Bowl, you're going to have to do it with Drew Stanton at the helm. Is there any chance, what is the percentage chance that you would put on trusting Drew Stanton to lead the Arizona Cardinals to a Super Bowl run?
It's not good. Less than 10, I would say. Less than 10%.
And it's stunning that he would get 10%, because before that little stretch he had earlier this season where he seemed to engender some confidence,
zero.
It would have been zero.
Zero.
Yeah.
It would have been zero. Yeah. I mean, realistically, we talk about this every week, and I can't say it enough. Even the game they lost, they were in.
Mm-hmm.
So they're playing, and that was another game where they did not have Carson Palmer. And I believe Drew Stanton got knocked out of that game, too.
Yeah, they came in with a third quarterback whose name I've already forgotten. Was it Logan
right.
Thomas or something?
Don't know. Wouldn't know if he walked into my room right now and said, you know, hi, I play for the Arizona Cardinals. Like, get the fuck out of my house. Call the cops. You know, stay right there. I'm going to call the cops. Yeah. Don't see it happening. There's just the NFC is not the strongest right now. But they get into the playoffs, they have home field. There's a number of teams, not a lot of teams, there's a number of teams that could roll in there, I think, and easily handle them in a playoff situation. I think that the Packers could. I think that the Eagles probably could.
With total
fraud. I'd even go so far as to say I think that the Cowboys could.
Oh.
They're
going
to have to face a couple of those teams. They're not going to just get lollipops in the playoffs. I mean, realistically, what do they need to win to get into the playoffs? Two more? Maybe three? I mean, you want to talk about back your way in. They could go, 3-4 the rest of the way and make it. They could go 2-5 and make it.
Yeah, but I don't know if there's too much of a chance that they're going to lose that division with that record. I think they'd really have to fall on hard times. Seattle's only two and a half games in back of them. But that's a lot of games to make up. That's pretty far back at this stage of the season.
Cardinals don't have the easiest schedule coming up here. I actually took the time to look at this during the week, especially once I found out about Carson Palmer going down. They don't have the easiest time the rest of the way here. To give you an idea, they have the Lions this week, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be actually that's probably game of the week right there.
Absolutely. The two teams who refuse to die. One of them's going to have to.
That's right. Something's got to give.
Yep.
Then they're at Seattle. That's huge. They're at Atlanta. Atlanta's garbage, but they're good at home. Then they have the Chiefs. They're at the Rams. We all know about the Rams in the NFC West. They play it tough. Seahawks, Niners. There's not a lot of just slam dunk victories here with your backup quarterback the rest of the way.
The Rams play it tough unless we pick them and then they get their quarterback benched.
Yeah. Your boy, by the way.
Mm-hmm. The Austin Davis experiment is over. The funeral has been, the procession is being played and the last rites have been given.
I'm sad because Austin Davis scored me a ton of Buster points in our Buster League.
Yeah, which you beat
in limited in limited time too. That's the fun part of this. I think I played you in our Buster League last week.
And you won like 180-10.
It was actually 150-19.
Oh.
But that was with 73 points from Austin Davis.
Man.
And the Bears defense. So.
Oh.
That's that's enough to win right there.
Yes. That's
all you need
pretty
to know.
Bad.
All you need to know about the rest of what I had, all you need to know is I had Austin Davis and the Bears defense in a league about sucking.
So, yeah, I'm sick of the cardiac Cardinals and John Brown and the whole thing. I'm through with them. And here they come against the Lions, and I'm sick of the Lions pulling games out of their ass and the cardiac cats, and they do it again. And Matthew Stafford finds a way and all of that garbage. And
well, that's going to make this week fun because, I mean, we'd almost have to say that's going to be like the highlight game this week.
Yeah.
It'll be really interesting to hear your pick because you have, I don't think you believe in either one of these teams.
I'm picking
you
neither.
Pick one of them. Push. Can you finally pick the push? But I hope there's a hook on this spread.
I was just about to say, well, my luck, there will be a half a point on this game one way or another. I won't be able to pick a push. With my luck,
right,
it'll
my gut
and
tells
if there's
me
not,
it will skew towards the Lions because of Drew Stanton. That's just my gut.
And if there's not a half point on it, then the game will be a push, and it'll be a lot of much ado about nothing. Because they're just destined to play to a push. Either a push in a point spread or a tie in the actual game. They're destined to do one of the two.
Well, good news for you so far. As of this moment, this line is Arizona -2.
Hmm.
So, good news for you there.
No. Well, we'll see how that develops. I'll probably be 1.5 by the time we pick the game or something.
Yeah, because already it being -2 means money's moving towards Detroit. So we'll see. Maybe some more money slides that way. You could be very well right. That could be 1.5 by the time we reach the weekend.
So what else stood out to you this past week?
Those were really the ones. Steelers, yeah, fuck them. Yeah, just so infuriating. that you just know they're bad, and then they show a little flash, and then you know what? We're on board with it, and then they stick it right to us. Hey, kudos to us. We both correctly had Atlanta going on the road and winning in a meaningless game at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is completely terrible. I'm surprised we haven't mentioned them as a mail-in team.
Oh, we did. We did.
Okay. We didn't give them a lot of credit. But yeah, they're pretty awful. I think that goes without saying. What did you? I caught a lot this week that they were making a big deal about how long the Cowboys left Tony Romo in a blowout with that bad back, and it did seem excessive because he was taking some shots late in that game that he didn't even need to be out there anymore, and they were just leaving him out there. Just, you know, you don't want to see those stupidest team in football tendencies come back, but
they have no choice.
Quarterback out there to just get murdered, not a good idea.
They have no choice but to invite stupidest team in football comparisons because their fucking dumbass owner who's got his head squarely up his ass is acting like doctor and GM and everything else and head coach. And putting all the pressure on Romo to go out there and play and insisting that he's going to be ready. And, you know, people don't remember that he insisted that Romo will be ready and it was all a matter of pain tolerance before the game that he missed against Arizona. This pressure was there the whole time. Romo was just smart enough to not go immediately after breaking two bones in his back. He took 1 week off and then decided to get out there for the London game and play, which he probably shouldn't have played in that game either. Anyone who looks at him playing football right now knows that he's in tremendous pain and probably could benefit from sitting down. So that they're going to be the stupidest team in football so long as that jackass is the owner, because he's going to insist on Romo still doing things that he doesn't need to be doing, and I'm convinced that one of those hits is going to put him down, you know, for the count, because his mobility is such that he can't really avoid it right now. Jacksonville isn't strong enough to take advantage of it, unfortunately for me. But after this bye week, some other team is going to be athletic enough to take advantage of his state of physicality, the fact that he can't move the way he usually could move. And they're going to put him down on the turf, and he's not going to get up. And Jerry
and
Jones is going to...
It'll be over for the Dallas Cowboys.
And Jerry Jones is going to sit there and claim that it's all a matter of pain tolerance and Romo will be okay because he's a dumb fuck. So they can't help themselves.
So we kind of alluded to it a little bit going into this week, but we weren't, you know, during the last show, but we weren't sure how it was going to pan out because the games hadn't been played yet. But what if somebody had come to you and said that going into week 11, the Cleveland Browns would be in first place all alone in their division?
I absolutely would have thought that the other three teams' planes got bombed or something.
But see, that's a funny division because your last place teams are 6-4.
Right. Yeah, it's not like Cleveland's running away with it or anything like that.
No, they're 6-3. They have a half game lead because you have the Bengals with a tie right behind them, and then you have the 6-4 team. So yeah, it's not like this is over by any stretch, but it's a testament to the competitiveness of that division, and it's sort of good bad. You know, it's not like the NFC South where it's bad. This is good bad football because that there's a lot of mediocre teams, although they all have winning records. Steelers are terrible. I already know. I told you they're terrible. they're terrible. And good for Cleveland. I mean, we don't see this panning out for them long term.
No,
but it's a step in the right direction. I haven't seen the stat. I'm sure somebody posted it the last time we were going in. When was the last time it was week 11 and the Cleveland Browns were in first place? This might be pre-expansion Cleveland Browns. This might be Bernie Kosar.
I would think it would have been a long time.
It's been a long time.
Haven't they only made it into the playoffs once since they came back? And that team was definitely a wild card.
Yeah, that had to be like an 8-8 one and done affair,
something like that. Yeah,
it had to be if it even happened. But I believe you're right.
It happened. I think it was. it might have been under All-Pro quarterback Derek Anderson or something like that. I think I may have had a hallucination, but I think that happened.
I believe you might be right, but they came back into the league in 95? It's been a while.
Something like that. The Ravens started in 96. Is that I want to say 96.
Okay. So the Browns must have come back in a couple of years after that, maybe.
Yeah,
but it,
98, 99, maybe.
Yeah, not good. In a word, bad. This is about 15 years of this. They're in first place. Good for them.
As I talked about that game that they played against the Bengals on Thursday night, we covered it a little bit before the last show, that was one unbelievable effort. And sometimes it's just the best team that gives – the team that gives the best effort winds up being the team that comes out on top, whether you think they have the most talent or not. Sometimes that's all it takes, especially when you get later in the season and so many teams don't want to give that kind of effort because they're, you know, beat up and not trying to have a tough game like that. Cleveland, offense, defense, special teams, you name it, came out clearly more ready to fight and more willing to go the extra mile, whatever they had to do. And so they deserve that win, no doubt about that.
Yeah, they tried harder.
Yep.
And Andy Dalton played about as poorly as you can play the quarterback position.
That helps as well. When the quarterback of the other team looks like he's impaired, looks like he's drunk or something.
So, and I have to say, everybody's trying to make the goo goo eyes again here for Mark Sanchez, but that was a team effort. He just happened to be playing quarterback for that team. There was a lot of Darren Sproles. The Eagles defense, you called that. That Eagles defense stood up.
And that's easy to do when the quarterback of that other team looks impaired physically. Cam Newton didn't look drunk. He just looked very, very beat up and hurt.
Yeah. So I'm still not going and doing backflips here over Sanchez. But we didn't pick Philly because we wanted to see something from him. And they showed that with the backup quarterback, as limited as his skill set is, that they can play good football.
Yeah, keep an eye on it. Sanchez did not look nearly as bad as I thought he would. So,
yeah.
Something to look out for.
It didn't look like they were hiding him, which is what I thought they would do. They let him play.
So we talked about...
I didn't look at the stats, but I don't believe they possessed the ball for 5 minutes, though, either. They actually looked a little balanced, but that's because Carolina also kept just giving them the ball. That helped.
Very much. We talked about upset road win at Cincinnati on the short week on Thursday night. Those road wins are rare on Thursday night. We've got another division matchup. This is an AFC East battle coming tomorrow night between the Bills and the Dolphins. And Miami is a pretty big favorite in this one. The Buffalo Bills are +6 at Miami down in South Beach. Jason, what pick?
That feels big to me. It's a good game. They're both 5-4. I'm going to go with the Bills. Miami missing Cortland Finnegan this week, so the guy who you pointed out being one of their thug defenders isn't going to be there. I think Kyle Orton can move the ball on this defense. They'll both play good defense. It's going to be a low-scoring game. I'm not necessarily going for the Buffalo win here, but tough divisional matchup, low-scoring. All that adds up to me taking the 6.
It takes a lot for me to look at a road team on Thursday night on such a short week. So there's got to be a lot of factors that would go into making that kind of pick. Well, how about this list of factors? Week 2 of the season, the Buffalo Bills behind the worst quarterback, the worser of the two, E.J. Manuel, beats up Miami 29-10. How about you talked about Cortland Finnegan's out? How about Lamar Miller's got a shoulder injury. Brandon Albert, the left tackle's hurt. He's out. How about 3-1 road record for Buffalo versus 2-2 home record for Miami? I'm sorry, there's too many factors. I got Buffalo to win. We'll see you on the other side in our after show.
Well played.
into our VIP after show portion of our program where you were expressing shock and awe in my picking the Bills to win the game.
No, I told you it was well played. It was well played.
Oh, okay.
No, not shocked at all. They're both a little underrated to me, Buffalo and Miami. They're not getting much run, not getting any press because they're in the division with the Patriots, who seem to be running away with that thing. But both of these teams are in playoff contention.
They're so both 5-4.
Yeah, it's a huge game.
One of them will be 6-4 and squarely in the hunt for a wild card after this is over. Neither one of them are catching the Patriots for the division title, but
should Buffalo prevail here, 6-4 and swept Miami in the process, puts them in a really good spot.
No doubt about that.
So, and we're both rolling with the Ortman this week.
We are. If EJ Manuel can light them up, why not Kyle Ortman? That was Sammy Watkins' coming out party, by the way, for that game. He went for like 8 catches for a 117 and a touchdown or something like that.
Yeah,
and now doesn't have to deal with Finnegan, like you were saying.
Yeah, interesting. And 50-50 whether Fred Jackson will play, but they're clearly going to be getting him back at some point here. So that suspect running game of the Bills, because they're pretty far down in the ranks for a team that normally runs the heck out of the football. That running game gets going. It just opens things up for Orton more. So I like what Buffalo's up to. I do. Even though we know that they're, you know, we said he should just be wearing stopgap on his jersey. You could do worse. You could do worse. Kyle Orton's one of those. We've talked about him in the past few weeks a little bit. He's one of those underrated journeyman kind of guys. There's a lot of teams out there that probably right now wish they had a guy like Kyle Orton running their offense.
He is veteran quarterback X.
Like Jerry Jones, in case Tony Romo goes down again, so we don't have to see the Brandon Whedon experience anymore.
I'm sorry, what did Whedon do with the Browns that would make anyone think he was a viable backup quarterback in the NFL?
I don't know. Well, it's like, what did Mark Sanchez do with the Jets to make anybody says? Obviously, Chip Kelly is a genius, and Jerry Jones is not.
Yeah, we know. I guess you're right about that. Well, but we did kind of suspect, though, the Sanchez with no talent around him up in New York. Well, maybe somebody, if someone gives him another chance and gives him a real team, let's see. Maybe there's something there. Maybe.
It's not like he signed on with the Raiders.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that would be a no-go.
So he knew enough, and from everything I've heard, Chip Kelly went and got him.
Right.
So
he knew something.
This is the offensive mind. This is the guru, you know, supposedly, who saw the backup quarterback market, probably saw, you know, probably knew he could buy low. Definitely can't buy much lower than after the butt fumble. Can't get much worse than that.
Although Oakland tried to top themselves, as bad as all the other teams in the league are and the other quit teams or whatever, only the Raiders tried to pass a ball to the offensive linemen and tried to get away with that. Only the Raiders.
Nothing like the old illegal touching. We call that the old Penn State play.
You never want to be accused of illegal touching. That's never a good thing. Brings back bad memories of my high school days.
We didn't talk about the Raiders. I know that they were on your list of potentials for quit, but they're just the Raiders. They're in their own class of ineptitude. This is the same thing every year, isn't it? Since they went to that Super Bowl with Gannon, it's been, and is that his lifetime?
And it, get that question, something about the lifetime what?
Oh, wow. You cut out on me there a little bit. I said they deserve their whole level of quit, because since they went to that Super Bowl with Rich Gannon, it's been pretty awful.
Wow. Yeah, but this is a new level. This is 0-9. They're not tackling anybody. That's one of the hallmarks of the quit teams, is the teams that refuse to tackle somebody, and they didn't tackle anybody against the Broncos. So, but we'll have to keep an eye on that. If they're not going to even try to tackle you, and they can't run the ball, and the rookie quarterback keeps throwing it to the other team, I mean, there's like no hope.
So are the Raiders getting into Lions territory? I mean, when do we start talking about they're not going to win a game?
Who are they going to beat? Now I got to call up the Raiders' schedule.
Are you desperately looking for that win?
Yes, because who the hell are they going to beat?
Do they play Tampa this year?
Or
take a trip to Oakland?
Or Jacksonville? I don't know.
I'm getting so tired I called it Hopeland.
No Hopeland. They're at San Diego this week, so that would not bear well for them.
Paper champions. Perfect.
If they would go into San Diego and win, that would be funny.
Do you want to know if the Chargers are done? This would be the week.
At San Diego versus Kansas City on a short week on a Thursday night. At St. Louis might do it. Sean Hill versus Derek Carr. How about that?
I hope that's not a prime. Thank God that's not. Is that Monday Night Football? Or what do we have there?
That's a day game. That's a Sunday, regular old Sunday day game. They get their one primetime shine on actually next Thursday. Their one night game against the Kansas City Chiefs. And
well,
boy, how much fun
Super
is that going to be?
Maybe
that one.
For themselves. Trying to make a case here.
Okay. Well, maybe. So
maybe.
At St. Louis versus San Francisco.
Oh, no.
Back against Kansas City out in KC. Then versus Buffalo, who might be contending for a playoff spot, so that might actually be tougher than you would think.
Yeah.
And then I don't think they might – the finale, they might have a chance at Denver if Denver's clinched everything and are sitting their players.
If Denver's locked into a playoff seed and they're playing the backup, is it like –
Brock
Osweiler?
Osweiler.
Hey, I called it. they might have a chance.
Not Roy Oswalt. Brock
Manning.
Osweiler.
Yeah. Yes. You know what? You got a chance. So their best hope for a win is that the Broncos are just too good for them, and they're locked into a one seed or a two seed by then. They just aren't playing for anything, and Peyton Manning plays like three snaps, and then it's week 17. Anything can happen.
It's either that or Sean Hill shits the bed, or they get fired up in the black hole for their one primetime game.
Or, I'm telling you, they go to San Diego, we see just how bad the Chargers really are.
San Diego's coming off a bye, too. They better not lose that one.
I'm not giving away a pick here or anything. I'm just saying. San Diego has not been impressive lately.
Yep. That might
they,
be
they've
one.
Gone
I don't...
from best team in football talk to paper champions.
That might be one. I don't.
Be a huge spread. There's got to be a double-digit spread.
I don't care what the spread is. I think I'm going to give away a pick and say I'm probably going to take the Chargers no matter what the spread is, because that's one. You've got to dominate that game. You have to.
If they don't.
Oh. Ooh. Not good.
Yeah, because San Diego, for all the trouble they've had the last few weeks, even after going to Miami and just getting blown out, shut out, they're still in a playoff hunt here. Their bye could not have come at a better time, by the way. We haven't talked about the Chargers in a while. They could not. That was probably the most well-placed bye for any team this year, other than maybe Dallas.
Yeah, they absolutely needed that body. They were just on fumes against the Dolphins, and the couple of games before that as well, just looking worse and worse and worse until culminating with that 37-0 loss in Miami.
So you've got that on you for a week, and then you get the bye, and then you get to come back and play a team with no wins. You would think that the Chargers would come out and win this game by four touchdowns.
Exactly. You would think they'd come out and want to hurt somebody. Get that stink off of them.
We've got some really, really good games this week, by the way. Just looking
No
at the
good.
schedule, we got Detroit and Arizona. We got the Eagles and the Packers. You got the
And I
Colts and the Patriots.
about to say, I know that Sunday night game is going to be a barn burner.
Yeah. Monday night won't be. Don't know who scheduled that one. Steelers, Titans.
Well, again, every
And
team's got to get their
neither.
shine.
I know. You got Seahawks, Chiefs. A lot of good matchups that aren't the usual matchups this week, and that's what I like.
We'll have a good pool to choose from for our highlight games then.
Yeah, there's not much else after that. Cincinnati, New Orleans, maybe. I think there's enough other good games. I think those were the key ones.
Yeah.
But we could be talking about that battle for first place in the NFC South, Atlanta at Carolina. Oh.
Guessing we're going to skip that one.
That's a
I
safe
don't
bet.
even I don't want to give the Yahoo guy any credit for his picks last week because he pulled a cheapo.
Oh,
The cow
worse than picking a game after it was over?
he had the Cowboys over the Jaguars and he didn't give a line because of whatever source he was using, the line was off because of the Tony Romo situation. And then inside the
Oh,
pick,
well,
he
then if you're
said
just picking that game straight up, come
straight
on.
up,
That's
yeah.
a gimme.
Well, inside the pick, he's got the little hyperlink to go follow him on Twitter because he says if there's a line set, then he'll tweet out his pick. And again, I'm not following you on Twitter, dude. I'm not doing it. You're not that important. It's a one of those. That's one of those tricks he keeps using, trying to get people to follow him on Twitter. The other one is he doesn't pick the Thursday night game until Friday now because his column is always on Friday, but he'll
Yeah.
tweet out the pick, the Thursday night pick, and let everybody read it there. And
Yeah.
I'm not trying to read that because I don't care. It's not important enough.
I think for the sake of brevity, maybe we should just start doing one show a week on Friday, and on that show we'll pick the Thursday night game.
Sounds good to me.
Oh, by the way, I texted you my pick last night. Did you get it?
We didn't make
Yeah, I
fun
saw that.
of.
I had the same pick. Oh, what a shock. We both won again on Thursday night.
We are undefeated, picking Thursday
We
Night
never
Football on
lose, and we
Friday.
can pick after the yeah, we never lose, and we can pick the games after the result's been determined.
We didn't make fun of Tim when we had him on, but that was kind of his move as kids. He always loved telling you about the team that won the game the night before. And it was like, what? You didn't pick them before the game. What are you talking about? Yeah, but they won, didn't they? So that was kind of his thing.
Like I knew that would happen, one of those.
Right. He was a huge fan of the Bears after they won a game.
Well, there's a lot of that.
Yeah, but we were, trying to sort of be legitimate about it, long before we started dealing with the point spread and all that. But we were still trying to sort of pick games, before school ended. And, oh, who you got tonight? I got this and that. And Tim would be like, I'll tell you tomorrow.
Well, we didn't have much as in the way of Thursday games.
No, but like just,
We...
anything, Bulls or,
Oh, okay. I
White
was going
Sox or
to
Cubs or anything like that.
say. You think, oh, I'm glad we never got into picking baseball or picking basketball.
Yeah, it would have been a little difficult. you know, football is so easy. You get the one game a week and nice and clean and get all hyped up for it. Back when it was the LA Raiders and the LA Rams.
I haven't been able to do much as far as seeing what's going on today because I can't go online other than our websites or the Line websites because you can't go more than 5 pages online now without seeing Kim Kardashian's butt. Like, this is news. It's like the second headline on Google News right now. Her ass. That's news. Didn't you know?
The weirdest thing about that is I used to have a subscription to Playboy magazine. She's already shown everything. She was in Playboy years ago. What's news? We've seen it all.
I guess 5 minutes went by without her being in the news.
Oh.
I guess that's what happened.
Yeah, I saw the pictures on my Facebook page, popped right up right in front of my face. I wasn't even looking for it, but okay. I've seen it. It's nice. It's very nice. But yeah, I don't. That's the strangest part to me. It's not like she never showed her private parts before. We've seen it all.
I guess this is news. This is what counts.
It would be like if Britney Spears, you know, showed us her beaver. We've seen it all. We've seen it already. You know, every time she gets out of a car, we see it because she refuses to wear panties. So I don't see the big deal.
Yeah, it just blew me away today that I'm at work, and it found me at work. I wasn't even looking. I didn't even know. I was like, oh, okay, a little downtime. It's kind of a slow day. I'll check the news. Oh, today's news is Kim Kardashian's ass. That's the news.
I even know that Chelsea Handler did a mock and showed her own ass as comparison, sent out a picture of her own ass, which I haven't looked at because it's Chelsea Handler, and I don't want to see that.
I have an idea. This should be like the new Ice Bucket Challenge. This would be like the Show Your Ass Challenge.
You better shut up. You might be giving some people some ideas. Next thing you'll see.
Challenge somebody.
Oh.
Hey, you might get some play on this one. You never know.
Now you got Vince McMahon showing his ass on a selfie, and President Obama. Yeah, don't give the world any.
So
ideas.
Yeah, we won't have the ice bucket challenge. We'll have the show your ass challenge. I don't know what the thing would be, because the ice bucket challenge, what did that have to do with Gehrig's disease? It had nothing to do
absolutely
with it. So the show your ass thing could be anything. You could make up any thing at all. It doesn't have to be like prostate cancer.
I was about to say colorectal cancer.
But that's too obvious.
Oh.
Like pouring an ice bucket over your head has nothing to do with ALS. Nothing.
Okay, so it has to be a total non sequitur. Let's see.
This is us. It's got to make no sense at all. Be like, show your ass for cerebral palsy.
Show your ass for brain cancer research. How about that?
That makes no sense, see?
Yeah.
Hey, they've got the whole domestic violence thing going on right now.
No, that would actually have some correlation because you could...
Yeah.
Show your ass to show that it's not bruised from being next to Ray Rice.
That makes sense now. Now you're showing your ass to show that you haven't been whipped.
Yes. Because you haven't been spanked by Ray Rice or whipped with a branch by Adrian Peterson. Yes. Yeah, that would actually make a little sense, so we can't do that. It would be like for stomach cancer or something.
Yeah, I got nothing else. It just blows my mind. The media coverage of things in this country just blows my mind. And we're talking about it, too, so it must work. But we're not talking about it like it's newsworthy.
We're trying to be above it because we don't quite get the fervor, even though, like I said, it is a nice ass. It is very nice to look at. I mean,
you can go... You can go numerous places online and see the same thing, and it's not news. It's smut.
But it doesn't have a name attached to it that's somewhat famous.
somewhat famous, self-made famous, famous for being famous, is, I believe,
pretty
the
much.
Term, right? Famous for nothing, actually. Being famous. If there's a job resume, if she had a resume, her job description, her title would be being famous. She has no job. She doesn't do anything.
Her and Paris Hilton and Monica Lewinsky and many others, yeah.
Well, Monica Lewinsky did something.
Not really.
Or had something done to her?
No, she did it, but it's what she did isn't exactly something that should be, you know.
No, I mean, it's not like
famous.
It's a role model type thing, but she was, that all came up. That was a scandal more than anything. That wasn't just, she wasn't just famous. She wasn't famous before it happened, that's for certain. Now she's just a mockery, you know, or a punchline.
Right.
And a lot of these people are going to be the same, you know. We'll look back in 10 or 15 years at some of these famous for being famous. Paris Hilton's already gone that route. Nobody cares a damn for her. This will all go away. You got your famous person of the time right now, and then it'll change, and somebody else will be famous for absolutely no reason.
Yeah, most of these little pop stars now, when I, you know, see their name, I'm like, I don't know who that is, and I don't know what song she's famous for, and I wouldn't know her for 1 second, you know, if I saw her on the street. But they're making names for themselves.
I'm with you on that. There's definitely a lot of these, especially with the music, because it's like, I'll tell you, I love having internet radio. They don't have to listen to, it's not like Chicago where you just had your handful of stations and you just turn the dial and you'd eventually hit these people on the station. You know, you'd like the B96, you knew what you were going to get there, you know, you had all your stations, you had to listen to all of them at different times. But the artists, you knew who they were. I have no idea. I can't tell the last time I heard like a top 40 countdown or anything like that.
No.
Do they even still do that?
I'm pretty sure they do. I think Ryan Seacrest rules the world there. He produces like 700 million different things, and I think that's one of them.
And you really can't watch MTV because they don't play videos.
No.
So it's, but, you know, so they have their, they still have the video awards though. I actually saw more Oscar nominated movies than I saw videos last year. So
yeah, they had the VMAs, but they're not famous for the video awards themselves. They're famous for the performances that are given on the show itself.
Right, because somebody's got to do something shocking.
Right.
Quote unquote. During the show. But yeah, they actually do have awards still for videos.
So speaking of tuning on the radio and finding something. So this morning I wake up at 3:30 and I went to work, and don't ask me why I did that. Basically, I had to do 8 hours of overtime today no matter what. So I woke up at 3:30 and decided to, you know, get up and shower and go to work and knock them out as early as I could. So maybe it was a function of being on the highway that early in the morning, but I'm, you know, going up and down the dial, so to speak, looking for something that I like. And because I'm old, I'm going to land on something old, because if it's new, I kind of tend to avoid it. So, again, maybe it's being that early, I'm driving and it's still dark or whatever, but I landed on right at the beginning of, we talked about Chuck Finley a couple shows ago. I landed right on the beginning of Is This Love by Whitesnake. And I'm sorry, at the end of that song, I was finding myself going, man, this is a motherfucking great song. Is This Love by Whitesnake,
I think, was a
great song. And I never
thought
that before.
Now? You just discovered the song?
I mean, I remember it from back when it was out in 85 or 86, but I haven't listened to it since probably then. I guess it was a lot better than I remembered it. How about that?
Well, you know, I think as I've aged too, I've noticed some of the music sort of like from the 80s that we grew up with that I wasn't quite in tune with when I was growing up, or some of the bands and you sort of rediscovered them as you've matured, and some of the music, because this is, you know, there's a lot of bad music in the 80s. You always make fun of the bad 80s saxophone. Like you we haven't talked about this on the show, I don't think. But
you belong to the city.
The bad 80s. Yeah. You could just basically, the 80s was known. A lot of the pop hits in the 80s had way too much brass. A lot of horns. A lot of horns and a lot of, and especially the bad 80s saxophone. A lot of it.
The stereotypical saxophone solo in the middle of your song, yeah.
Just, you don't get that these days. Whatever happened to the sax solo in the middle of your tunes, it's gone. It's a lost art.
It's replaced by a sample of a bad 80s saxophone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's replaced by somebody mixing up the saxophone and putting some cuts and scratches into it now. That's kind of what you hear on the radio. Is you don't hear too much original stuff from what I can tell.
Yeah, I'll give you that too.
A lot of stuff that just reminds you of a song that you remember from 30 years ago. And it's like, really? You can't come up? Me and my wife were discussing or arguing or whatever last year about, I don't know if you ever heard the song Blurred Lines by this guy named Robin Thicke, Alan Thicke's son.
Yes, I have.
Oh, okay.
It's
a very popular song, so I kind of figured you've heard it somewhere along the way, but I didn't know how, you know, isolated from music you were.
No, I've heard it. Many times I've heard it.
Well, there's a Marvin Gaye song that you may not have heard called Got to Give It Up, and it sounds a lot like that song. So much so that I believe Marvin Gaye's estate sued Robin Thicke because it sounded too much like it. And my wife and I were kind of arguing about it last year because I thought, it sounded so much like Got to Give It Up. I thought he sampled Got to Give It Up for the song, but he didn't. It just sounded so much like it. But that's the point I was trying to make, was so much of the quote-unquote original music that's coming out today that's being produced by, you know, the kids that were influenced by the older people like Pharrell and, you know, producers of that ilk, all they're doing is taking sounds and music that they grew up on and basically reproducing it and calling it original songs and taking, you know, melodies that you go, oh, I remember, you know, the something went like that, but it wasn't that. It wasn't those words. It was that exact same melody, but it was completely different lyrics. And they're calling that original. It's like, that's not original. It's absolutely a ripoff, but that's what passes for original music nowadays.
It's homage. It's not a ripoff. It's an homage.
Oh, is that what it is? Oh,
yes. You got to get the words right.
Oh,
well,
homage sounds a lot like
ripoff
to me.
If it's an homage,
uh-huh,
can't get ripped off. Can't right. Get sued. It's homage. So it's an homage to Marvin Gaye.
I'm sure that's what his lawyer was trying to argue as they tried to settle that case.
Yeah, so, you know, I've somewhat kept up on newer music, but it's different. It's like more, you know, it's funny because you had the alternative craze. You had that grunge rock and the Nirvana thing in the 90s, and then alternative suddenly morphed into rock. So rock music today isn't really like what rock music was when we were kids. Rock music today is more of what came from the alternative movement. And now that's become your mainstream rock music, but you can't really hear rock music on the radio. Very hard to find. Very hard to find.
Yeah, I guess you're right about that. I hadn't thought about that.
Think of all the rock stations. We had rock stations when we were growing up. There's not much in the way of rock music anymore. It's pop. What passes as pop, a lot of country, especially up here in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I just can't tolerate country music. I just can't do it. Can't do it.
Can't do it. Cannot win with them.
No, you know. So it's interesting the way music has changed.
I would like to get into more modern music and find out how much more it's changed. Because, like I said, my initial impressions of today's music is a lot of derivative. and that's not good.
Yeah,
I want
well,
some original
I'll tell
stuff.
You, my outlet for music has been more of like Pandora, you know, free music, internet.
Yeah.
Stuff, you know, discover a lot of music there, which is good. So that's kind of kept me a little bit more, I think, up with it for the music that I like, because you can just, you know, you go in there and you just throw in an artist, especially if you throw in a more current artist that sort of moves you in the direction of some of this newer music, and it drops stuff in there. But no matter, I will tell you the trick to Pandora, no matter who you put in as an artist, you'll get about 3 songs into the channel, and it's guaranteed it's going to play Don't Stop Believing by Journey.
That's
have to block that song on every Pandora channel I have. I could have the Tchaikovsky channel, and it will play the 1812 Overture, and then the next song is going to be Don't Stop Believing. Journey must be getting some money from Pandora. They must have founded this technology. Every station plays that goddamn song.
Those are the artists that you're choosing. I'm telling you, the artists I choose, there's the similar where they circle everything. If I choose an R&B artist in the 80s, everything will eventually circle around to Michael Jackson. That's what I keep bringing into whether I put Prince or Janet Jackson or Madonna or anything. Eventually, something by Michael plays, and I'm like, sometimes I want to hear Michael, but not right now. I didn't put in Michael. I put in Madonna. How do we get to Michael Jackson from Madonna? They're not the same gender, I don't think.
Well, I'll tell you the thing about Pandora is when you thumbs down a song, you have to do it at every station.
It'll come back
once
to you.
Once that song plays, you're like, it just follows you. So I think I have that song thumbs down on every station. I just don't want to hear it anymore. I'm done with that song.
Well, apparently it'll keep getting you no matter what you do.
Oh.
The funniest thing about Pandora, and then we can wrap it up, to me, is how it points out how old I am, that I will put in, I'll go choose a genre sometimes, not just an artist, but sometimes I'll choose a genre, and like you said, a newer genre will introduce you to newer stuff. But just like the cell phone, you can learn newer stuff. That doesn't mean you're going to remember it. I can put in that dubstep station and hear all of these songs that I have heard throughout the last 5 years on commercials for, you know, LeBron James shoes and stuff. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember this song. This is the jam. And, oh, I've heard this one before. I could not possibly fucking tell you who sang it, what the title of it is. I just know I liked it and I thumbs upped it. But I can't possibly remember it. Just like a cell phone.
Right.
You got so many phone numbers in your cell phone, you can't remember any of them because we don't have to anymore.
So it's not driving you towards the discovery of artists.
I don't know how it could unless I sit there with a pad and paper and write down every song and artist that I like. Because how else am I going to discover it? Because it plays the song, you thumbs up it, and then it moves on to another song. How am I supposed to discover a new artist unless I'm actively trying to keep a chart of it?
You're anal enough, I figured you'd do that.
Yeah, that's a good point out of you. But no, I haven't. I haven't yet, but I might, because I do want to hear some of those songs again. But I don't remember who sang them. So hard to look for something that I don't know the title or the artist to.
So real point taken.
And that actually reminds me of a really quick 10-second story about a woman at my old job in Chicago who, when she found out I was getting married, excitedly came up to me with her MP3 player to play me a song that she thought would go great at my wedding, some R&B song. And it sounded wonderful. So then I take the headphones off, and I, after like 30 or 40 seconds, and I say, this does sound like a very good song we might want to use in our wedding. What's the title of it? I don't know. Okay, well, who sang it? I don't know. Well, how the fuck am I supposed to use it in my wedding? I don't know what the song is. What?
Are you sure it wasn't our podcast theme song?
Which is called I Don't Know. Shout out to Grapes. We don't do that nearly often enough. Shout out to the artist Grapes for our theme song, which is called I Don't Know.
It's a brilliant
and
name.
And on that note, you are listening to our after show because you subscribe to the show on iTunes, searching for In Much Less Detail, the podcast, or you're listening on the archive page, the archive tab of our live show page, blogtalkradio.com/InMuchLessDetail. Do you have a recap up this week? Because I did not get a chance.
I do not. I had a full day on Tuesday, because it was Veterans Day, so I actually had a full day home with the family. So my wife was home, and both the kids were home, and today I had a 12-hour work day, so I did not.
Well, I had an 8-hour work day followed by bowling, so I loathe to put up anything.
Nonetheless, a lot I could have said about this last week that I didn't say tonight. Fuck the Steelers. Fuck the Saints.
I loathe to put up anything on the Thursday before a new week starts, because that's kind of like, okay, the new week really starts tomorrow, so what am I doing recapping week 10? But I might put something up on the blog tomorrow. But if I do, the website for our blog is inmuchlessdetail.blogspot.com. I'm on Twitter at IMLDDre. Jason is at IMLDJTG. And you can always email us with your memories of 80s music and how awesome it was and wasn't and everything else, or any other comments or questions that you have. Email us at inmuchlessdetail@gmail.com. Our next show is, do you have anything Friday or Saturday?
Leaning towards, what did we just say? Are we leaning more towards Saturdays?
We both are, but I'm drawing a blank that I thought I had something to do this coming Saturday.
Well, this week might be better Friday. Let's do 9:30 on Friday, because I'm Mr. Dad. I'm on Saturday night. My wife will not be home, so that will not give me much time for my 5 minutes of research. Although you're catching up to me now, so I'll have to maybe up that to 10.
Ooh, look out, folks. I just remembered what I had to do Saturday, as we're getting a new beds delivered here. So.
Oh, okay. You got to test them out if you know what I mean.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
Speaking of Marvin Gaye.
Let's get it on. Yeah, so Friday night, 9:30 Central Time, 10:30 Eastern Time for NFL Week 11 as the season continues to chug on towards the finish line. Unless you have anything else?
No, I'm barely awake. These 10 o'clock shows, man, they take a lot out of me. It's been a while since we've had to do a 10 p.m. show. Tired.
Yeah,
that's all
yeah,
I can say. I'm tired.
I hear you. All right. He's Jay. I'm Dre. This is In Much Less Detail, the podcast. Thank you for listening, and we will see you Friday night.